everybody, and welcome to the Kings of Anglia podcast. And we've got a bit of a special one for you today leading up to the home game with Middlesbrough at the weekend, because that fixture has been designated as the Ipswich Town Foundation annual fixture. And as a result of that, I'm joined by two men involved at the heart of that. It's the director of the foundation, Dan Palfrey, and Ipswich Town first team player, Connor Chaplin, trustee on the board. Thanks for joining me, gentlemen. How are you both?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm good. All good, very well.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for joining me. Full transparency, we're recording this a little bit in advance. It's a couple of days on from the most dramatic win against Southampton at Portman Road. Connor, I'm surprised to see you sat down. Rumour has it you were still running after that late winner from Jeremy. A real dart across the pitch from you at the end. Before we move on to foundation things, incredible scenes.
Yeah, great evening, great night for the football club. Just an amazing feeling. Obviously, last minute winners, there's not many feelings like it. Sort of out of body experiences at times. It was a big one for us, definitely.
Yeah, remarkable. Who knows what drama we'll have had between now and then, building up to this Middlesbrough game. But as I said, this is the Ipswich Town Foundation fixture. I think last year was the 6-0 win against Charlton. Is that right, Dan, that it was assigned to a chance, really, for you to raise some funds, first and foremost, for the foundation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the foundation fixture is a really big day in our calendar. It's an opportunity for us as a charity to showcase our work and the work that we're undertaking in the community, the impact we're having on our participants in the community to the fan base. It as well as obviously an opportunity to raise awareness, which is still significant for us, still being early on in our journey. It's also a really good fundraising opportunity for us, and there's many ways for supporters to get involved on the day.
Yeah, well, just before we get on to what's involved in the day itself, just give us a bit of a potted history of the foundation. Formerly the Community Trust, was rebranded in 2022. You were made director that same year. Talk me through the journey to this point with the foundation as a whole.
Yeah, so starting back in 2019, the Community Trust was relaunched. Worked alongside Lee O'Neill with that back to get the football club back in the community. There had been a 6-year hiatus, so it was important that the club got themselves back into the community. So we're now only in our fifth year, still doing a lot of work. Obviously, like you say, we came back as the Community Trust, rebranded in 2022 to Ipswich Town Foundation, which just gives us a little bit more flex in terms of the programs that we're running in the community. And it just gives us a more modern look, which we felt was important going forwards for what we want to achieve. As I say, still really early on in our journey, early on in our infancy. We're reaching more and more people year on year with growth. We're now running 29 diverse programs in the community, which are underpinned by our four pillars that we run. This culminates in us engaging with 9,000 young people and vulnerable adults on a weekly basis. So those programs vary from education, employability programs, health and wellbeing, sport and physical activity, and participation and inclusion. So there's a number of different programs that we're running now, which, you know, I'm sure we'll get a bit more into in this chat. But look, everything that we look to do now is around what are the community needs here in Ipswich and in Suffolk, and how can we positively use the, you know, the power of the badge to make a genuine difference to people's lives.
Connor, you're a trustee. How often do you guys meet to discuss what the foundation is doing? How important is it to you to be involved with that?
Yeah, really important, probably for myself. It's I feel proud to be a part of it, definitely. We have bi-monthly meetings. Then obviously there's trustees that you see on a more regular basis as well, and you can chat to, like to Dan and Peter Over and people like this that come to the games, and you sort of build up a really close relationship with. It's an important part of what we're doing at the football club. It is, I think, probably the backbone of the whole thing that's going on at the football club, to be honest with you. And I think it's spread like that, which is perfect and exactly how we've all visioned it going. And the growth is really exciting as well in terms of what can be better and bigger. That's probably still just scratching the surface in terms of people that we can reach and ways we can impact people's lives. And that's exciting, really exciting.
Yeah. Is there any particular community visits that you've been involved in that have touched you, that have stayed with you, people that you've stayed in touch with? Give some examples of the things that you've been involved in.
Yeah, loads. I'm not just saying that, genuinely loads, probably too many out. I've had fairly close relationships with people that are sadly no longer with us, and which I've met through the community and the work there. And they're probably the ones that you think about and stand out the most, because you really are impacting someone's life in a positive way in a time where it's really hard for individuals and families. And I think just from our point of view as players, and probably not even players, our point of view from human beings, being aware of the effect you can have on people and people's families in times of crisis and times of hardship, I think it's a big responsibility. And I think we should be probably sharing that and spreading that as much as we possibly can. And those are probably why those are really special ones that I remember, because those memories that you're creating for people and their families is priceless.
Mm. Dan, can you give us a flavour of some of the different programmes that you're involved in? You've obviously got the Boys and Girls Development Programme, but a variety of things: Dementia Cafe, yeah, Walking Football, Frame Football, refugee programmes, disability stuff, the list goes on.
Yeah, so 29 in all. I mean, Connor's literally just come from a visit that we've done to engage with the community, which is the first. It's called Ipswich Town Foundation Dream Day, and there was 9 young children there who have gone through various forms of hardships, family bereavements, house fires, big responsibilities in terms of being a young carer for their sibling who's disabled. So, you know, really empowering those individuals and being a positive role model. And I think that's just what the football club can do. You know, we're an institution in the community, and that kind of like epitomizes the power that we can have to really make a difference in their lives. In terms of the programs, yeah, they're really broad and diverse now. Of course, we've got in our sport and physical activity pillar, we've got our development programs, which are really important to us. Probably one of the big bugbears of the fan base in that kind of 6-year hiatus where we had no footprint in the community was my son or daughter's going to school, and there's different information from other clubs, but that's no longer happening. We're now partnered with over 40 primary schools in Suffolk, which really gives us that, you know, there's that touch point from an early age where they're seeing our coaches who are doing work in there, whether it's intervention work with them, so working on their numeracy and literacy for disengaged pupils and using the power of the badge to really try and get them engaged back in their learning, or whether it's simply putting on PE lessons. It's really important that we've got that badge and that footprint back out there in schools. I could go on the programs. We've got Divert, which has been a really big program for us and a real step in the direction that we want to move in, which is probably more away from we've got our football programs, but where we feel we can really register some big impact in the community is probably where it's away from football, and you're really tackling those core issues in society. So Divert is a program where we're kindly funded by the Police and Crime Commissioner, and we work in partnership with Suffolk Constabulary. We're working with young people aged 13 to 17 that are on the cusp of serious youth violence, being entrenched in gang criminality. So there were, some have been involved in county lines, antisocial behaviour. And it's just that they'll listen to our coaches who are in Ipswich Town tracksuits, whereas possibly they might not if it's a police officer in uniform. And that's been, we've ran two cohorts now where we've worked on workshops around knife crime, county lines, what the true meaning of a friend is. We do employability, CV writing, and it's just about raising the aspirations of those young people. A lot of people have probably given up on them, and it's just about us as a football club empowering them, giving them a second chance, and really telling them, look, you are young enough to make positive choices now and make a positive contribution to society. On the other side, we've got a thriving disability pathway where we've got youth disability, adult disability programs. We run Frame Football, which is children that utilize a walking aid and typically are living with cerebral palsy. So again, it's just making football inclusive and accessible for everyone. Same with power chair football, Dementia Cafe and Senior Blues, as you touched upon. Health and wellbeing is really important to us. I think where we have to look at it as Ipswich Town is, what are the needs for us? The needs for Ipswich Town and Suffolk are very different to what a club in London will be looking at, for example, because we've got rural isolation, social isolation. I think 1 in 4 people in Suffolk are over the age of 65, so that's well above the national average. We've got lots of people, over 130,000 people experiencing loneliness in the community, which is, again, a lot higher than the national average. So that's where we look to run bespoke programs that can tackle those societal problems that are really local to us in Suffolk. That's a bit of a snapshot, but there's lots more that I could go on and talk about.
Yeah, it's incredible work that you guys are doing. And you talk about the power of the badge. There's nothing like a football club that kind of brings a community together. And we've got a special set of circumstances here in Suffolk with it being a one club county and such a big patch that you can make an impact on. Connor, as someone who wears that badge and sees the sort of the draw that it has, have you felt that when you go into a room and you can see how kind of football brings people together?
Yeah, I think it's evident everywhere you go. Every morning I walk my dog and there's Ipswich fans that I'm sort of interacting to or beeping on the way past and chatting about the game, or pretty much every neighbour I have is a season ticket holder at the stadium for this season and last season. It's everywhere. I don't think you can miss it, that's for sure, in terms of the influence that the football club has on the county. It's incredible. And I think we're in a, like you say, we're in a fortunate position that there is one football club around here that in Suffolk that is such a big football club. And I think maybe it's always been like that, I've heard, but probably from the time I've been here, it's been Ipswich everywhere, Ipswich shirts. Maybe that's probably coincided, I don't know, you'll probably know better than me, but coincided with the takeover and maybe the recent history of the football club in the last few years has definitely helped that in terms of new generation wanting Ipswich kits and Ipswich shirts. I think that's been a massive positive for the community in general. It's so powerful to be a part of. And it's amazing every time you're out and about and you end up talking about football wherever you go, which is amazing.
Yeah, Dan, Connor's just mentioned it there. You've been involved with this football club a long time. Boyhood fan, different roles before you had this. So you kind of saw that period, as you mentioned, that little 6-year hiatus where there wasn't perhaps the strong connections between the charitable arm of the football club and the club. You know, you're working so much closer together now. And there was a period, let's be honest, where there wasn't so many Ipswich Town shirts around the town. Maybe a few more Premier League kits and things like that. It was in danger of maybe losing a generation of supporters, but that's really, really turned now, hasn't it, in the last few years?
Yeah, completely. like you said, I've been here through that journey in roles at the football club, working in PR. So I saw that, you know, look, we are the foundation is a separate entity to the football club. We are a registered charity, the official charity of the football club. But what's really special and something that Mark will drum into department heads at the football club, we're just another department viewed internally, whether that's the same as comms, finance, HR, whoever it may be, community is just one. Yes, well, legally we're a separate entity and we're self-sustainable. But yeah, he makes it very abundantly clear to staff at the club, but also to the players as well, around the community's got to sit at the heart of everything that we do as a football club. And yeah, you know, looking back at those times, it was challenging because, you know, you didn't have that footprint in the community where we're now engaged. We've got 9,000 engagements on a weekly basis, whether that's young fans or old. So, you know, our schools coaches who go and work in over 40 schools a week out there at the moment, it's a soccer school where probably if you look out there, 90% of the kids are wearing Ipswich shirts. And you're right to say back then it was unfortunately Premier League clubs. And I don't think you can underestimate the importance of having those touch points in the community where, you know, we're running educational programs about the football club. So fans, young kids are constantly reminded about the football club and looking at, you know, got those engagements with our staff, which is really, really powerful.
What's that first conversation like with Mark Ashton when you first signed Connor? Because I'm led to believe that he makes it very clear that the community piece is very big, that you have to commit to that as well as everything entailed that comes with being a player as well.
Yeah, it's definitely clear, but I think that's already carefully thought about within the process of bringing players into the football club. Is about character, probably first and foremost, before anything. Character and values is a big thing that recruitment looks at. The chief executive, the manager, they're huge on it. And it's massive as well. And I think it's got to a point now where it probably needs to be said less within the change room about the importance of the community, because there's a culture now at the football club where you come into the dressing room and lads are talking about community visits all the time that they've been to, genuinely enjoying it, chatting to the lads about their experiences of going to a refugee night or a school camp in the holidays, the Frame Football or Dementia Cafe. There's chats going on throughout the change room all the time about the visits. So there's probably become a culture at the football club and probably more personal within the changing room. It really is chat about a lot, and lads love it. So players then coming into the change room and seeing that and hearing it, that's what culture is. It becomes culture. You're expected to put your hands up for visits. This is probably one of the only places that I've ever been as a player where lads are offering to do visits and wanting to go back for a second visit on the previous one that they've just been at. Usually it's hard getting the boys out. And I'm not just saying that, it's genuine from the lads, which is probably, it come from the recruitment in terms of character and values of human beings first and foremost, but then secondly, the culture within the football club and in the dressing room, that's just what we do. Anything below those standards aren't accepted. And it's part of probably the leaders in the dressing room and part of my job as a trustee to do that if that ever happens, but that's not happened yet. So it's been a fairly easy job in that aspect.
Conversation you have with new signings when they first come in the door?
Yeah, it's just probably just about, I think the club are really good at getting new lads out in the community quick. I don't know whether that's a purpose thing or not, but it usually happens and it's amazing. So I'll just make sure that after every visit that I see one of the new lads do, I'll chat to them about it and encourage it, obviously, but chat to them about it and see how they found it. And 99% of the time they loved it and enjoyed it, and looking forward to the next one, or offering to go back to someone that they've already been to. And I've probably touched on that as well. There's been so many occasions this season where chatting about the visits, and lads just generally want to go back, and they've built a relationship within the hour that the visit is. Have been impacted that much because there's a massive, probably from the outside, it looks like the people at the visits get a massive boost from the players being there and things like that. But a lot of the time, the lads take away massive things from it. So many inspiring stories and inspiring human beings out there that the lads can take a lot from. They want to go back because it's infectious, and it's an infectious environment to be involved in.
Yeah, it must lift you as players. I've not really thought about it from that point of view, but you go, you see the impact that you have on people. Like you say, it's infectious. It could lift your mood. You could feel tired. You could be having an off day, and then you see the impact that you have on some of these people, and it must rub off on you.
100%. I think the two things you alluded to there is, one, it's infectious, and two, it can 100% lift your mood. However you're feeling before you go into it, you're off the back of a long training day and you've got a visit at 6 till 7 on the Astro outside here with loads of kids running around and playing footy. You come in and you might be a bit tired, but by the time you leave, you've been jogging around with the kids and interacting, and it's such a good feeling. It's such an incredible feeling to have that sense of community. And to have the impact on not just children that love the football club, that come in for sessions at an evening at Portman Road, but anyone that Canberra has been to Dementia Cafe recently and absolutely loved it. Caden Jackson went to a mental health something put on by the football club, and he wants to go back sort of on a more regular basis rather than just popping back on just being there once. He wants to go on a regular basis because he's seen the people there, and it's actually made him feel a lot better in terms of the way he was feeling before he went into the visit. And that's, I think people don't think that in terms of our community visits. I think people think we're more giving a lot to the people at the visits, which without a doubt we are, and we want to do that. But we get a whole lot more from it as well.
Yeah. Does it keep you grounded, keep you humble, remind you of kind of when you see all these kids running around, it kind of reminds you of, you know, puts you back being that young lad yourself and dreaming of being a footballer?
Yeah, of course. I think when I spoke to Mark at the start of it, that was probably a big thing for me is the next generation, because I think so much of when I was a kid, and all I wanted to do was be a footballer or play football and feel like you're close to the players that you're seeing on a Saturday on the pitch. And it's not that normal at football clubs to feel that close to them. I like to think now our next generation of fans, they really feel like they can be close to us in terms of they might see you at visits, or every time you're coming in off the bus and they're welcoming you on the pitch, you're interacting with them rather than just sort of walking past them. I know everyone's seen videos of football players and maybe coming off the bus and people are there waiting for autographs and things like that. And it's sad viewing. I don't think that would ever be the case here. I think that the children and the next generation really feel like they can sort of aspire to be wherever they want to be, because they feel connected with the first team players and the women's team players.
Have you got a bit of a code of conduct, almost unwritten code of conduct sort of thing, like no headphones on when you're going past kids in that sort of scenario that you've just outlined? Is there certain rules that you all try and abide by as a squad?
Yeah, I think that's obvious from the videos that you see and the pictures that you see. I think everyone can see that there's a brilliant culture within the dressing room, and it's not really needed to be addressed many times because, or if ever, to be honest with you, because it's just what we do here. It's generally just what we do.
Mm. Dan, for you, it must be absolute manna from heaven working with Connor and this group of lads that are so committed and engaged with the community side of things. On top of that, it's a team that's winning and drawing big crowds as well, which all adds to the feel-good factor. Case of making hay while the sun shines, I guess, for you at the moment, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to, you know, sort of strike while the iron's hot at the moment. Of course, you benefit from when the team are doing well, but if we were sitting mid-table or towards the bottom of the league, we'd still be doing the same thing in the community, and the lads would still be going out and doing the same visits. It wouldn't be a case of shying away and we're only out there in the community because we're fighting for promotion. That's not the case at all. We'd done it in League One. We'd be doing it if results weren't going our way. But yes, of course, look, you've got to harness that power. And the feel-good factor around the club is absolutely amazing. And we've probably just seen that from the buy-in from like the local business community has been amazing. The buy-in from supporters in terms of really humbling in probably the last 12 months, where I think the awareness piece for us is growing and people are starting to go, I didn't know the foundation were actually running those kind of programs. I thought you just turned up at schools and ran some sessions in the evening. But when you talk about the actual programs that we're doing, whether that's divert refugee work in care homes, working with underprivileged children in school holidays. So there's a lot that we're doing, and I think that awareness piece is growing. And of course, the feel-good factor on the pitch translates into the community. And that's really special to be a part of. But like I say, I can't stress enough, we'd be doing the same thing, whatever, whether it's win, lose or draw. But just going back to the player visits, I know we spoke about it at length, but it really, really is genuine. And seeing it firsthand, obviously there's a process in place where players are asked to go to visits because they're not going to be aware of what our timetable is. But there's been, I'll reference George Edmondson, who was nominated. He won League One Player in the Community last year. And we went to the AFL Awards. Sadly, he didn't win the overall award. But George's recognition was based on the fact that he went to an adult disability session, fell in love with the group, built up a really special connection. And he just, he built up a connection with Lee Smith, who works at the club as the disability liaison officer, but is also our manager for both adult teams. And just built up a rapport with Lee. And he didn't even tell the lads in comms or myself that he was attending visits, and you're just going home from work one evening and George has genuinely just turned up at Portman Road, and he'd done that probably untold times. Ended up purchasing the kit for the players as well, so that then they feel part of it, first team all the way down, and that's something that we've replicated across all of our provision that play fixtures. So it really, really is genuine. And like I say, it's just drummed now into the culture of the players and the DNA of the football club.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about this foundation fixture. What's going to be involved on the day? I think you raised over £30,000 last year from it. Have you got a target? How can people get behind what you're doing?
Yeah. There's, like I think I said at the start, it's most important thing for us is the awareness and people understanding more about the work. So that's why I'm grateful for the opportunity today to talk about more about the work we're doing. It's an opportunity for us to showcase what we're doing, the impact we're having in the community. There'll be many ways for the fans to get involved on the day. All foundation staff and trustees, those that can, will be working on the day. The next running sessions in the fan zone next to inflatables, doing talks in hospitality suites. So there's an opportunity for fans to get involved, whether that's through just simply donating, which all funds on the day, yes, raised over 30,000 last year, which was really, really amazing. We're hoping to obviously topple that figure this year, and all funds that we do raise from this will be reinvested back into the community, because sadly the need is growing, whether that's through health, social inclusion, deprivation. The need is just growing in the community, which means we need to do more work, we need more resource, and obviously days like that are really important to us. We're going to see at halftime, which I think we definitely did last year, which was really special. We had a participant from every single program that paraded the pitch at halftime, which is really nice because you see we've got kids in our disability pathway, which will be walking around the pitch, our town tots, which are age three, but then you'll also have someone in their 90s who attends the Dementia Cafe and Senior Blues walking around the pitch, which shows our complete diverse range of programs. So as well as just, you know, if it's a monetary donation that can't be made, just listening and reading up about the foundation on the day and maybe taking away something more than what they already knew before the day and spreading that message is really important.
What's the plan for the future then? I think you announced a 5-year strategy for the foundation last year. What are your hopes for the foundation? I think Connor said about scratching the surface yourself as well. Where do you want to go with all of this?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're only in our fifth year. We obviously want to keep growing, and by growing, that is reaching more people, let's be clear. Everything we deliver has got to be about impact. Okay, if we want to launch a new program, right, it needs to start from what's the community need? Why is that local to Suffolk, and how can we, as Ipswich Town Foundation, help these people, help transform their lives? So it always starts from that position. It's not just year-on-year growth and there's no meaning behind it or substance. It's got to be genuine, and we want to impact more people. So as I said there, sadly, there's a lot of people out there in need. When we say we're not scratching the surface, yes, we're engaging with thousands of people on a weekly basis, but there's also lots more people in the corners of the community that we're not yet reaching. We do have Suffolk as a community to ourselves, but it's about building from a solid base in Ipswich, which is our HQ, and sort of growing sustainably. You know, there's other charitable organisations, other foundations at clubs that are probably 20 years older than us. We're only in our fifth year, we've got to remember. So yes, what's going on is really special, and we want to continue that and keep growing, launch new programs that will help us reach more people. More on the strategic side, from a facility point of view, we use the Portman Road AstroTurf, which is also the fan zone on a match day. We have to look at that strategically. It's not probably the best surface that we could be operating on, and it's a bit dated. Fans will know that that's been there for quite some time now. And it's really important to us. It's out of all of the facilities that we do use, it's our most popular, because you can't underestimate how special that is for children, for our walking footballers, for example, who come with disability. Playing under the shadows of the floodlights at Portman Road is really special. So look, long term, we do want a facility of our own in Ipswich, which will enable us to really take us to the next level and deliver more programs. From a financial point of view, it will, you know, mitigate a lot of our sort of facility and operating costs that we're chipping out at the moment, but it will really act as a solid base and allowed us to really create a sort of special community hub that we can be proud of. So yeah, really, it's just continue doing what we're doing, keep using the power of the badge, keep using the power of the football club to make a genuine difference to people's lives, and that's what we strive to do day in, day out.
There are plans to change the AstroTurf for the fan zone then? Is that something on the...
Something that we are looking at. Like I say, we've just got that kind of juggling act where it's obviously a thriving... it's our central fan engagement hub on a match day. But also, if you look at 3G, 4G pitches that are run by other foundations, you wouldn't ordinarily have a fan zone on there. So I think it's just a balancing act, and we know how important it is to the fan engagement operation of the football club, but we also know how special that is to our participants.
Connor, I think you've got to get yourself off to training in a minute, so I'll let you shoot off to Playford Road, but Dan, I expect to see you with your bucket outside Portman Road on Saturday. I think you got the card machines as well if people don't have their cash. Some of the money from tickets and merchandising and all of that sort of stuff goes towards the foundation on this day, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's just where, like, again, it's built within the culture of the football clubs, the different departments are making their own contributions, whether it's a pound from every ticket, pound from every match day program sold. I think it's 50p from every pint sold in the concourse areas. So all which helps us raise funds to be reinvested. There'll be a significant presence from us. And hopefully we'll have a positive result. One similar to last year on foundation fixture would be special.
I think you got a hat trick that day, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a good day. That
was a good day. No pressure, Connor. Final word to you, Connor. Best of luck for the games ahead. I think on behalf of all the fan base at the moment, everyone's so excited with this run in at the moment. What does it mean to you to be an Ipswich Town player? I know you're a Portsmouth boy originally, but you've been here for a little while now. It feels like you're firmly part of the Ipswich Town family to me.
Yeah, I feel that way without a shadow of a doubt. It's definitely a home, probably a home for me. It will be probably forever. My first child was born here, so it will always be a home for me and my family, definitely. We just want to keep going, keep doing everyone proud, and fingers crossed we can get some good results from now until the end of the season. At the time of this recording, there's 6 games left, so it's not a long amount of time left to the end of the season. We'll just keep trying hard and see where we go.
Well, thank you for all you're doing on and off the pitch at the moment, and thanks both of you, Dan, Connor, for joining me today. Much appreciated. And we'll see you next time. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Stuart.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you, mate.